Good evening, friends of the Bulkley Valley and beyond. My name is Thomas Tom Roper, and you are listening to CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9 on your FM dial. My program, On the Ropes, is broadcasting from the Cassia Territory of the Gidimdum Clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en.
About that. Let's get those up there. Then we get a little more volume there. That's better. Okay. So, Tony, welcome. And Jada, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Really nice to see you guys. And, you know, when we're on this little radio program, we're always looking to figure out why people came to this crazy, beautiful valley. And the other thing is, why did they stay? Like, why didn't they, like, oh, man, I've seen enough of this and get the heck out? But so that's sort of the focus of where I lead the story, and then I get your opinions and ideas of what happened in your case. So I'd like to ask you that, Tone, if you could give me a little bit of feedback on your, were you born in Smithers?
Yes, I was born in Hazleton.
Oh, okay, right at the hospital there in Hazleton at Rinch?
Yeah,
that's a pretty cool hospital. There's quite a bit of history.
All my siblings were born in Smithers, but my mom decided to go to Hazleton for me.
Just to give you a little bit of change of scenery.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's good. That's great. And so then the family has always been living in Wet'suwet'en?
Yeah.
And what about the change from Morristown to Wet'suwet'en? Did that come about in your existence there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They changed it to Wet'suwet'en. I lived there kind of on and off, and I moved away to Prince George for a little bit.
Right. Like, so you did your schooling in Smithers, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. And then after school, you moved down to Prince?
Yeah.
See what it was like in the big city?
Yeah, I started working in Prince George, and it was definitely different times then to now. Like wages and where I was working, I decided to just kind of get away from. I wanted to go out and try to find what I wanted to do.
Yeah. Is that kind of time in our lives where we got to try a few things and see what it is that you like, you know?
Yeah.
And Jada, did you what your situation? Were you born in Smithers?
No, I was born in Prince George.
Okay, all right. And so you lived in Prince George for the early part of your life?
Yes, and then I also lived in Burns Lake for a little bit. We moved back to Wet'suwet'en, and my mom did the USET program that they have with Cuyahoga Education.
Oh, yeah.
And she wanted us to move down to Prince George in 2016 so she could do her social work for bachelor's degree.
Oh, right,
and
right.
And she actually graduated from that just recently.
Wow.
So she is moving forward with her bachelor's degree right. in social work.
Wow, that's incredible, actually. You know, to get a degree, I tried a couple times, but had no luck to be, you know, to be persistent enough to get everything done and do all the exams and that type of stuff. That's really... really cool. So is she going to be able to work in Wet'suwet'en when she gets finished, or is she going to stay in Prince?
She resides in Burns Lake right now, so okay. She has a position right in Burns Lake.
Oh, perfect. That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Really good. Well, listen, as you guys know, we've got always try to play four songs as we go along through our discussions and whatever. And so I like to start up with this song that you picked, Tony. It's called Shinanu. Is that how you would pronounce it, with that T in there? I don't know exactly. But
Tiano,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. So when you told me that song, I wrote it down as to not know in English. And then when I saw it here, it's a little bit different spelling. But
yeah,
it's,
I actually went to their concert when they were in Smithers when I was a teenager.
That?
Yeah. When was that, Tone?
Early 90s.
Early 90s, yeah. Yeah. Well, they're still producing. They're still working. They're, yeah. It's a pretty cool band, actually. All right, well, let's take a little listen, see how it sounds here.
La face du monde veut donner de la fierté, veut nous sortir de l'ombre. Je suis peut-être trop optimiste, mais je suis vivant, donc j'y crois. La plume ou les doigts, j'écris une page de l'histoire. On est fort ensemble, c'est pour ça qu'on se rassemble. On est des frères dans l'esprit, c'est ce qui fait qu'on se ressemble. Si ensemble qu'on vaincra, si ensemble on leur dira que sur les terres du Canada, on est encore là. On est fort et fier, on rassemble les nations. C'est la voix du peuple, le chant de la détermination. C'est le cri de victoire, c'est le cri de liberté. C'est le cœur des guerriers, c'est la voix des oubliés. Faudra dire à nos enfants que le monde leur appartient. On peut croire en les possibles et qu'on n'est pas les plus à plaindre. Pourtant on vient d'ici, on nous traite dans l'étranger. Par contre on est la preuve que les choses peuvent changer. On n'est pas les victimes, mais une autre génération. Celle qui a le pouvoir de nous offrir un horizon. De rattraper le temps perdu, de rendre hommage aux aînés. Les rassurer en leur disant qu'on ne va pas abandonner. Ce sera long et les épreuves seront tenaces. Faudra du cœur, du courage, de la force et de l'audace. En l'honneur de leur mémoire, on marchera sur leur trace. La tête haute comme des bras, parce qu'ici c'est notre place. Sans oublier qu'on est l'espoir de demain. Qu'on a le pouvoir de réparer, de bâtir le monde de nos mains. Et quoi qu'il advienne, on reste ensemble, solide. Car peu se souviennent qu'on est ce qui reste du génocide.
So that was the band Kashtan, and they're an indigenous Quebec band. They speak a lot of French in there. I didn't understand too much what they were saying there, but it sounded good, you know. And they've actually traveled around, and they've just completed an album in 2021 called, what is it called there? Right here. It's called Nakimo. And that came out, and it's been quite successful. The name Kashtan actually means tornado in the indigenous language that they're, the band that they're in Quebec. So you've seen them before, Tone?
Yeah, I went to their concert when they were here at the arena.
I bet that was pretty good, eh?
Yeah, it was in the early 90s.
Good sell out there, yeah, yeah.
They're really popular with all the, like, basically everyone I knew was listening to Kashtan at that time.
Back in the day there.
Like, we traveled around, we played basketball and hockey and different reserves and stuff, and everybody was listening to Kashtan.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty cool, actually, that's going on. So, Tony, I just wanted a little bit more understanding about the family, like the Nazelle family. It's always been in Whitsitt. Is that part of their band or their territory, or how would you describe your connection?
Yeah, well, the Nazelle family has always been in Whitsitt and formerly known as Morristown. My grandpa George and my grandpa Jeannie Nazelle, and my dad, he had the brothers were always hunters, trappers,
right?
And they were all in the logging industry,
right?
And my dad went from the logging industry into a restaurant of his own in Whitsitt called Taylor's Place.
Okay.
So when I was growing up, like, I just always wanted to hang out with my dad,
so, mm-hmm.
and he was always out in forestry camps, and he'd come home on the weekends, so that was my time I spent with him,
when
he was working on his chainsaws, cooking for us,
right.
And then after he left the logging industry, he went into cooking, and he started up Taylor's Place in Whitsitt.
That's pretty amazing. So where did the name come from? Did you know?
My niece Taylor.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
Taylor Nazelle.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And so do you, Jada, now I'm talking with Jada, who is Tony's daughter, and you have more than one daughter in your family, Tone?
Yeah, Felicia Holland.
Okay, right on. So Jada, what's your connection with the family in Whitsitt? When your mom is living in Burns Lake, do you still feel a strong connection in Whitsitt?
Yes, because Whitsitt is my hometown. My other hometown is Lake Bevy Nation, which is my mom's ethnicity, but she is still Whitsittan. So
right.
I've always traveled back and forth to Whitsitt just so that I could do hunting or even salvaging canned fish.
Right.
My late Uncle Merle, he would always can fish for us every year. So
right.
He's passed on for about 2 years now. So we stepped it up this summer and we did our first canning session with our family. And I was one of the fisherwomen that caught some of the fish for our family this summer.
That's pretty cool, Jada. That really is. And to can it up and have it ready. I mean, I was thinking about that, how you guys are so connected to the food.
Mm-hmm.
We can't live without food, and you guys are on the front line of providing food. And, you know, and that's... So we'll talk a little bit more about the takeaway, Tony's takeaway, a little further down the line there. I just wanted to ask you, Tone, it seems to me that every time I was trying to get hold of you in the last couple of weeks, you're busy. You're a busy guy, and you're cutting wood for the elders, and it seems that you've got this something in you that you want to help people. Do you feel you've got that, Tone?
Yeah. Basically, everything I do is helping people, feeding people, or cutting firewood for people, you know. And
so it's kind of a trait that is really, it's a pretty nice trait to have.
Yeah.
A lot of people want to just kick you in the head and move on, but so do you feel you've got a little bit of that, Jada, but just in the sense that this whole food direction is pretty interesting?
Mm-hmm. I've started cooking when I was about 5 years old, as soon as I could start walking, and I always put a chair right beside where my dad was cooking all the time.
Right,
so
right.
We come from at least four generations of cooking, so.
That's pretty cool.
I've always been very giving towards people. A lot of the times we do feed the homeless if we have extra food.
Yeah.
And we don't really like to waste food. It's just in our tradition to not waste.
Right,
only
right.
Only take what you need is what our elders have always said, so. I've always helped out with the community, and a lot of people just know me by Tony's daughter.
Right, right, that's right.
Even though I'm 22.
Yeah,
My dad's mini-me.
Yeah, that's right.
Whose daughter are you? Tony's.
Yeah. It's not a bad mini-me, though, to be associated, you know, because you guys are on a pretty good trajectory, you know, of looking after yourselves and the people around you, which is mm-hmm. kind of, I've always felt that that's sort of the one of the most important things that we need to do is to be able to look after ourselves. And then that spreads out to your family. You're looking after your family rather than us kind of expecting somebody else to look after us or the government to look after us or whatever. So developing that work ethic, Tone, to keep yourself going. Where did you get that? Do you think that came out of your dad?
My mom and my dad.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as I could remember, my mom, she worked in the canneries in Prince Rupert.
Right, right.
So she would travel down there, work down there, live in a motorhome for 6 months. And I would go down there with my dad and spend time with her. And then my dad was also working as well, so
right.
I have to say I got it from both of my
parents. Yeah, it's quite, and I think you've got that, Jada, where it's just coming out of your mom and dad, where you feel, like I felt the same with my mom and dad. That, you know, my dad was, he was a traveling shoe salesman. So if he didn't sell, we didn't eat. So he had to work hard to make sure that when he got somewhere, he would sell some shoes so that he'd get his commission. So we could have dinner, and we're back home in Burnaby thinking like, we don't think about it at all, we're just eating. But where that came from, that work ethic to go out there and make sure that we've got looking after our family is pretty, I think it's pretty strong in you guys. I really feel like you guys are on that line, you know?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
That's
so
also where like my hunting, fishing, and picking berries, it all came from my mom and dad, and I teach my kids the same, you know, like when I go out hunting, and we all share what we catch.
Yeah, that's pretty cool that can happen, you know, where we're working, we're sharing. And when you talk, Jada, about taking only what you need, like you can see that sometimes when we go to a smorgasbord, and we just fill that plate up, and then we can't eat it because mm-hmm. it's just too much food, so we throw it in the garbage.
Yeah,
and that just doesn't make sense in the world, you know. It just mm-hmm. there's no thought of other people that need help or the fact that we shouldn't be taking more than we need. I see that too when, you know, in the old days when you used to go fishing, you'd see a guy come home with 25 fish. And you're thinking, well, you can't eat all those, you know. And why don't, like when I go fishing, I just want to get one fish. And come home, I've got enough fish for me for like a month, you know, or better.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's slide in another song. Things are, we're getting a little bit of information from you, and we're talking, trying to find out, you know, where we're going. And so let's play another song that you've picked out here, Tone. This is by a group called Seaweed Band, and the song is called Run As One. So we'll give her a try
my
here.
My cousin Sabrina Charlie showed me this song.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, 1990 called it Indian summer. You could feel the beat of a distant drummer so strong with pride. Side by side, we shared a social changing tide. Got you run as one now. It's begun.
So that was a cool song, and I was going to try and shorten it a bit, but it's kind of nice to have that ending to it, really.
So yeah, the drumming.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I like about that song, is the drumming.
Where did you come up with that song again, Tone? You said you got it off one of your cousins?
Yeah, my cousin Sabrina Charlie. She just got married over the summer. And she's I didn't hear the song before. And we're just sitting around a campfire. She's like, play Runner's One, play Runner's One.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Going okay. on my Apple. And I'm like, okay, is this the one?
Yeah, yeah. See, it works.
And then I heard it. And I just, like, the drumming always reminds me of my older sisters. And, my mom and my older brother, because they play in the, well, they drum in the
drum group.
The drum group in right. Whitsett, right. which is Ramona Nazal, Deanna Johansson, Florence Nazal, Priscilla Nazal.
Okay. Yeah, the whole family is in there. Yeah,
there's a lot of people.
Yeah, there. Well, we might have saw them. we had a little ceremony. About a week ago on Rivers Day, which is World Rivers Day, and we floated from Quick to Telqua, and then we had a little salmon barbecue, and the drumming group came down and drummed for us, and it was pretty cool.
Awesome.
And we had a caterer, and the caterer was Avril Jack, and you know, I guess you guys might know her from...
Oh, yeah,
Avril. She's a Red Seal chef.
Oh, she is amazing. Completely amazing. Completely oh, yeah. amazing, yeah. And
I catered her wedding.
Did you? Yeah, right.
We kind of like exchange services. So she's the one that kind of cooks for us.
Right.
Or it's vice versa.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, when I was thinking about Avril, I was thinking about you, Jada, whether that was some kind of a future direction. You know, this Red Seal is kind of pretty important to get your hands on. My son... He's just turned 47, just got his carpentry Red Seal. Mm. And I'm so happy for him, you know, and now he's really starting to learn. As you got, you know, when you're an apprentice, usually you're pushed down to the other jobs. But as soon as you get your Red Seal, you're kind of expected to be able to do the job.
Yeah.
So then you got to be better, you know, and it's kind of cool. And I was thinking about that in your case. Do you like this direction you're going right now, Jada, with the catering and the cooking?
Yes, I do, and I'm actually getting a carpentry certificate.
Oh, okay, right.
Because there's a trades program that I'm currently in right now for grade 10 work, but I have been going down that road of either getting my Red Seal Chef or Red Seal Bakery.
Right, right.
Because I'm really good with baking.
Yes.
I've always been really good with baking. So I kind of...
You could feel that could be some of the avenues that you're going to go.
Yeah, I was going to go to... Well, I am going to go to CNC.
Right.
I want to do some business management. And I was going to get my financing and accounting so I could be my own accountant for a restaurant.
Right. And what about for Tony's Takeaway? There's got to be some accounting going on there.
Yeah. I do all the money stuff.
Yeah.
It's like one of my strongest strengths is just being able to deal with the job that I do because I'm up front. So I'm the main person of point of contact, and I'm also the one that deals with all of the payments. So
right.
At the end of the night, I'm the one that counts all the money. So
that is so important.
And she's
Jada.
Also the one that you contacted to get my phone number.
Yeah, that's right. I just happened to run into her.
Yeah,
walking down the street. Yeah, no, that's right.
At first, we were wondering who that was because my auntie Mona has cameras at her trailer.
Right.
And then
right.
she posted, and I was like, no worries. It's the guy that wants us to do an interview is
right.
Tom.
Yeah, exactly.
And then she was like, oh, okay. And that's when I ran into you.
Yeah, that worked out. That worked out really well.
Yeah.
Well, my wife is an accountant, Jada, and it's so important to be able to follow the route of the books. And that is one of the things that I really believe all of us are lacking mm-hmm. when we're coming out of school. We're not thinking about our financial understanding, you know, and that's when I a few years ago I was part of the credit union, and that's one of the things that the credit union really tries to do is help people with their financial understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important because we end up, first thing we do when we get out of school is we buy a truck. The truck's only worth $125,000, and then we're done.
Mm-hmm.
We can't pay it off, and then we lose our credit rating, and you know, it just goes on and on from there, where you got to be thinking before you make these decisions, you know.
Yeah.
Business, right?
Business.
Like financials. Mm-hmm. It taught me a lot when I went to business school.
Yeah.
I went to business school with Tricorp in Prince Rupert.
Oh, okay.
And they taught me a lot about selling things, how to promote myself,
right?
How to get my logo. They actually made Tony's Takeaway logo.
Did they when you were there?
Yeah.
That's
Patrick Shannon.
Cool.
Like, it took him like minutes to make the logo. He's like, "You like this?" I was like, "Oh, yeah."
Yeah, sort of. Yeah,
so
yeah.
I got
it's cool.
The Sasquatch foot.
Yeah, yeah. That's a pretty cool logo, actually. That's it's Tony's Takeaway with a big Sasquatch foot. It's the shining on the side of the shirt and jacket.
It's one of a kind, too.
Yeah,
really,
which is pretty cool.
The Sasquatch logo.
No. The Sasquatch seems to be more down south than it is up here. We don't have as much Sasquatch sightings around here.
Traditionally, we do see quite a bit of Sasquatches.
Do we? In the bush?
Yeah. Like, if this one time, my cousin actually did see a Sasquatch near the cemetery in Witsit.
Mm.
So they're around, but they just kind of camouflage themselves. That's
right.
What they're known for.
They're pretty elusive. They really are. Well, then it would cause a stir if they were ever captured. Everybody would be going crazy, you know, and then we'd want to kill it, whatever. So it's kind of strange.
But you could always go to Tony's Takeaway for a Sasquatch poutine.
Yeah, there we did. That's the easy way to look after a Sasquatch. Exactly. So, Tony, this idea to buy the truck. I mean, why didn't you just be a caterer? And I'm not saying Avril is not a great caterer, but she doesn't have a truck. Why did you make a decision to buy a truck?
The thing, it kind of fell in my lap. Like, it was almost meant to be. My uncle had a trailer in back of his yard for like 10 years. And I asked him, I was like, "Oh, I need a trailer. I want to travel around and I want to cook food for people." And he's like, "Go ahead. Have it."
Yeah.
And
the
transfer papers are in there. I signed it. Just get
it out
of my yard.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Wow.
And it took me a couple of years. My uncle Marvin, my uncle Archie, they both helped build it. And
right.
I helped them. And, you know, my uncle Marvin's a contractor out in Witsit.
Right.
He's the one that gutted it out and rebuilt the whole inside.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, whether that gave you some carpentry skills, but you had some help, family help.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I helped as much as I could.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, "Go get the tape." And
Yeah. Hold this. Yeah.
Here, hold this for me.
Well, they've always got to have a gopher in a job. You always. And that's what you do until you decide, "Oh, I'm going to be a carpenter." But maybe you just want to, like, I'm a pretend carpenter. I built my barn and I built a house and, you know, I can get the job done, but I'm not a professional. Like, I'm a kind of a guy where I'd look at it and say, "Oh, that's okay." Where a carpenter, he's got to get it perfect. It's got to be, you know, just right so that the fit is perfect and so on, you know. But so I started out in mechanics and then in millwrighting and then, you know, I did carpentry on the side and I've done all my little trades and I've enjoyed it all. But I've never really felt a complete professional where, you know, when you get the red seal, it gives you that kind of feeling like, man, I've worked hard to get here and I'm going to learn more, you know, as I go along.
Yeah,
with the trailer is always a learning thing, right?
Yeah.
With food trucks, like, because you have to follow all the rules and regulations of food trucks.
Yeah.
And my food truck is actually currently in Terrace with Mr. Shelby, he's redoing the whole inside again.
Okay.
So I'm getting a bunch of I bought a bunch of new equipment that's being installed. That's why I'm not open right now.
Yeah.
I did use it over the weekend for the men's camp that I attended.
Right.
So I'm usually working with Anabib. Or, like, they'll hire me to do cooking for them.
Right.
And I'll bring my food truck wherever they're going. And also, Wet'suwet'en First Nations, you know, I catered for them as well with my food truck.
Yeah.
And we went to Owen Lake, and over the weekend we're at Nora Lee
Resort. That's a cool spot.
Oh yeah,
right on the
Tony's Takeaway in the middle of nowhere. Middle.
Yeah, exactly.
I've actually never been there before.
Have you? So you didn't go on that trip, Jada?
No, I was in school. Yeah, I'm mainly just in school. So I've always been a part of the trades. I actually got certified when I was 19 years old.
Right.
And I got certificates for heavy equipment machinery, and then I slowly got introduced to sewage maintenance and snow removal. So
right,
you've done pretty much open to all types of.
Man, you've got some avenues there, Jada. That is for sure. The reason I was going to ask you that direction, because I had interviewed a guy called Jacob down in Kitwanga, and he's got a farm there called Tea Creek. I don't know if you guys had a chance to hear about him.
Oh yeah.
I don't think I have.
Well, he's an amazing guy, Jada. You'd love to meet him. And what he's done is they built this farm up. They're really into food security. And so they're trying to grow. And whatever they grow, they give a portion of to the elders and whatever. And then they've got people working for them. And he's been able to connect with the government. And he's got 5 Red Seal people on the go. So he's got a carpenter. He's got a mechanic. He's got a business person, you know, and so he's able to get, he's got some money out of the government to help him fund it all, but it is really a tremendous program to have natives helping natives get ahead, really, you know, rather than, not that we've got a problem with it, but, you know, rather than the white person controlling the program, it's an indigenous guy that's trying to get the indigenous people moving into a job where they can look after themselves. That all comes back to that same thing. Rather than sitting there waiting for somebody to look after you, you're standing up and looking after yourself, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of interesting for sure.
I love it. A big part of my, with my kids working with me,
yeah,
every single one of them can do their own catering job now.
Yeah, yeah. And
like Jada, Terrell, Elias, they're all into
got the skills
from working with me for all these years. And yeah. I'm proud of all my kids.
Oh, man, I can see why. Yeah, it's awesome.
And they all know how to make fry breads.
So. Yeah, which is, it's pretty cool to be a good bannock maker.
Oh, yeah.
Tell you. Yeah, because it's not everybody can make it and make it taste good, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I took years and years of perfecting the recipe for that. I make bannock myself for the school, and they drool all over the
That's so cool. That's so cool, yeah. Well, I get down to the school. I'm working with a guy called Graham McLean, and he's part of a group called Spirit North. And we come down to Whitsett every week, and we take the kindergarten up to grade 4 kids out bike riding. And nice. Then in the winter we do cross-country skiing. So it's kind of cool. I help out on Tuesdays, but he's there all week doing different things for him. And it's pretty good to get those kids. I had a couple of kids, you know, that were just completely afraid to put the skis on. And then once we got them on and we got moving, and they were like, one guy, Noah, I can't remember his last name, he said, "It's the best day I've ever had." You know? Awesome. It was so much fun, you know, to do that, eh?
I remember the Spirit of the North when they brought all their canoes out to Owen Lake.
Yeah.
And everyone was able to go for a ride. And
yeah, and there's some canoes in Whitsett, and there's a little lake there off the highway off the left-hand side, and they were going to do a little bit of work down there in the summertime.
Yeah.
So at this point in our show, it's usually the time that I try to put my station identification in, because we want everybody to know that we are CICK, Smithers Community Radio, and we're 93.9 on your FM dial. So that's important that we get that information out. And the other thing is that we are the CICK Radio Association is a completely volunteer program, so we have sponsors that have been helping us out, and we're really appreciative of the sponsors. So I've got them up here that I usually just give a shout out to and thank them very much. Accounting on Broadway, and we've got the BV Concert Association and Classic Sanitary. We've got Ranch House Tattoo, and Phoenix Self-Care Studios. Thank you very much for your support. And so just as we return back to our program, this is Thomas Tom Roper, and the show that we have is called On the Ropes. And tonight we are interviewing Tony Nizel and his wife Jada, or his daughter Jada. And they are part of the organization Tony's Takeaway. So, Tony, just a little more on the truck itself, like to get into that takeaway business, that the food truck business. It seems that it suddenly got very competitive. How are you finding it to keep ahead of the sort of, you know, stay together with the other truck guys and be able to keep making enough money? How's that working?
Oh, it's actually working pretty good for myself, because one of my niche on the market is fry bread, and all the other food trucks, they don't make fry bread.
Right,
so
right.
So that makes us...
it's kind of a niche.
Unique.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
it a little... It makes us unique, where you can... I sell... Everyone else sells regular hamburgers, right. Like with buns, right?
Right.
But I use the fry bread as a bannock burger. So I sell bannock burgers. I sell fry bread. I sell, you know, like different types of poutines,
right,
that everyone else has. So that's more towards the market where we are, like where my Sasquatch poutine.
Yeah.
Is one of my top sellers,
yeah.
And it's been a top seller since I put it on my menu.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty cool. And Jada, you're part of the bannock making for the buns and whatever. Your recipe is leading the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, I started making bannock a few years back. My dad actually had to go for a shopping run, and
right,
it was during the BBX. It was probably the first year that we did it, and nobody else knew how to make bannock, so I just stepped it up and made the bannock and got all the orders done. So ever since then, I've just always made bannock, and I'm very passionate about my cooking, so
yeah.
I'm a perfectionist.
Right, right. That's awesome, Jada. I really... I like that direction that we're going, and we're trying to make the business successful. Like, food business is very critical. People have to like it. If
mm-hmm.
if they don't like it, they're not going to come. And if they're coming, you know you've got something that they like, which is pretty
definitely.
Cool.
Pretty when cool. We're parked in Woodset, you know, people travel from Houston to Terrace,
yeah,
from Smithers and Hazleton to come see us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what I started doing was I started getting business licenses in different towns, so I can come into Smithers and I can go into Burns Lake and I can go into Hazleton.
Right, right.
And travel to where the people want us the most.
Exactly. And the right timing whenever there's an event going on or
yeah,
whatever's happening, which is
especially
pretty cool.
Like, what they taught us and what they taught me in business school,
yeah,
right? It's like you gotta look at everything where you make money and where you don't make
yeah,
money.
Yeah.
And then, you know, do what you gotta do to get to those places.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If things aren't selling, then you've gotta move into some other direction.
Yeah.
To make it happen.
You always gotta pivot. That's
yeah,
one thing
yeah,
that Mr. Corey Stevens taught me when I was in business school is the pivot. Like, just say for a fact, or just say that Morristown, we're in Woodset, and it's not so busy. So I was like, okay, well, next day we're going to Smithers, and
yeah,
then it's busy.
Yeah.
And then the day after that, because we're in Woodset, so we could travel either way, and then we go to Hazleton, and
yeah,
seems to be everywhere we go, everybody likes our fry bread.
So. Yeah, yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Well, let's play another song. Keep us going. Now, Jada, this is the song that Tony said that you liked, and
mm-hmm,
it's called Trust by Megadeth. And I
give them a bit of background about
metal.
Megadeth.
I've always loved metal music. My late uncle, he's always played Megadeth or even Metallica, Motley Crue too, and he's been the staple of my life before he passed, and he's still a staple of Tony's Takeaway. He used to be one of our cooks on the barbecue.
Yeah.
So.
What was his name, Jada?
His name was Merle Nizel.
Merle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right on. Well, it's always, it's one of the strangest things is that we die. Right. Mm-hmm. Like my sister passed away a few years ago, and I'm always wanting to phone her.
Yeah.
But she's not there, you know, and it's kind of strange to figure that whole scene out, you know, of losing our, you know, our family members and whatever along the way. But it seems to be part of life. There's not much we can do to change it.
Yeah.
So this song, let's give it a little run here and see how it sounds. Jada, right here, boom. Let's see. There we go.
Thank you.
got her. Okay. Well, that is a pretty cool song, Jada. Yeah. When I was checking it out, I was checking the titles of their albums, and they've got they've got a nice album called Sick, the Dying, and the Dead.
Yeah.
And the other one is called Countdown to Extinction. Yeah. So they're really looking on our dark side, but they make some pretty good music.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
During that time when they went out with their album with the sick, the dead, and the lying, the dying, all of my family members, they went down to go watch Megadeth.
Oh yeah, that would be kind of cool. In Vancouver?
Yeah. Most of my cousins, my cousin Mally, my cousin Taylor, and some other cousins, they're on the floor.
Yeah, they right, were crazy. Right. Yeah, they'd be enjoying that. That's
also, Megadeth was one of my older brother Merle's favorite bands, so... speaking about Merle, I just wanted to get into real quick about my brother. He was one of our biggest supporters. He worked with me. We traveled.
You guys were a team.
Yeah. Sometimes we went to an event like Riverboat Days, and it was just me and him. There was just two of us there, and we worked like
crazy,
15-hour
day. Yeah, exactly.
Exhausted. At the end, at 9 o'clock, we're just like looking at each other, just like, oh man, that was nuts.
You know,
me and him, one of the things that he always said is, like, when at the end of the day, I wanted to give him some money because we made some money, and he just looked at me and he's like, no, you know, you're giving me way too much money. And I just said, no, this is for you because me and you made this money together.
Yeah, which is pretty cool to do.
He didn't want
to
accept too much money.
Yeah.
What he said to me was he wanted my name out there. It was more important to him than the money.
And
when he passed away, it was pretty hard on all of us.
Oh man, I can
everywhere with the trailer and with my kids and Terrell, Jada, Elias, Tristan, you know, they all work on a trailer as well with us.
Yeah.
And well, Braden over there.
Yeah, Braden's there. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's certainly not a two-person job. There's just too much action going on when it's rolling, and people are lined up, and you got to be moving, get the money, get the food, get it going, cook, and keep it rolling. There's a lot of work there, lot of work.
Jada usually runs the front. She's... I remember one time when we were at Riverboat Days and the lineup was 60 people long.
Oh my gosh,
This is one of Jada's first time she was up front. Like, we were here and there at these smaller events, but then this one here, we opened up the front window.
Yeah.
And Jada looks at me and she's like, Dad, there's like 60 people.
This is crazy.
Take their money, take their name down, and
keep it rolling.
Put the orders and just tell us what to do, and she just does it just like
smooth.
She handles those big crowds easily.
We have bigger lines now than 60 people.
Yeah.
I wish it was still 60
people. Right. Yeah, sometimes it's a little bit hectic, a little bit crazy. Yeah,
well, it's always hectic.
Yeah,
we always have like a long lineup. A lot of people, they always say, well, I'll just wait until later. The lineup won't stop. You just have to line up.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know what? Like, when I mentioned this guy, the Tea Creek guy, Jacob, if you ever get down there to see him, he's a really cool guy. They've got a real nice setup there. And the other thing that's happening now, I noticed this spring that in Whitsitt they put in a pretty big potato patch.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got... You know, the hydroponics are going over on the over by the school.
Yeah.
They're growing lettuce. Yeah. Like, every day we're getting lettuce. It's kind of crazy. Like, in the winter, I go to the store here in town and I get Whitsitt lettuce.
Yeah.
You know, so it's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool what Angie has done.
Yeah, she's a good worker, and she really is. And just the whole focus on food. Because I don't know if you guys remember when we had the COVID and we go to the store... They couldn't get the trucks in.
Yeah.
And like, who are, you know, we got to look after ourselves. It all comes down to that same situation, that we can't expect somebody else to be looking after us. They've made us that way. They've kind of looked after us, and we've kind of fallen into that trap where now we got to step up and say, okay, well, we got to do this and we got to do that, you know. And you guys are doing it.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool.
Community Gardens is an awesome program.
Yeah. It looks like we're going to run a little bit tight for our last song, so maybe we shouldn't play it because I got a few more questions to ask you, and we've done pretty good on music. These songs were a little bit longer. Some of them are 6 and 7 minutes, so it makes it a little bit, takes a bit of time away, but it's all good. It's all good. So when you were talking about, Tone, I was wondering about, sometimes a guy gets so focused on what they're doing. Do you have other hobbies? Like, are you you're a hockey player, or are you a baseball, or you like going hunting, you like getting out in the bush? What is your kind of relaxation?
I'd have to say hunting.
Or getting fishing, firewood. Would you say firewood? Getting firewood?
I also, whenever I'm like on my off season from Tony's Takeaway, I cut firewood.
Right.
I sell firewood.
Right.
Keeps me in shape.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The winter months. And yeah, hobbies, definitely hunting.
Yeah.
You know, I try to fill freezers as much as I can.
Yeah.
My own and Jada's.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And what about you, Jada? Have you got things that you like to do besides what you're doing now? Is there any other pleasure? Like, do you listen to a lot of music?
Yes. I like metal.
Yeah.
I've always liked metal. I've liked Korn, Motley Crue, Megadeth, Metallica. I also like beating. I've just started beating recently, and I'm in school right now, so I'm becoming a carpentry myself so
right.
that I could actually build my own home one day, so I can use all of the skills that I've had from when I was just getting into my careers.
Right.
So it's pretty nice. I do like the trades, but I definitely want to ease more into like a restaurant.
Right.
Maybe on Main Street.
You never know.
Yeah.
That's what Avril was talking about. She was talking about restaurant. You know, there's a partner right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's
anyways.
A good partner.
Yeah. She's a pretty hard worker too.
She is.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, listen, guys, that was a lot of fun talking to you and trying to figure out a little bit about you and not getting too personal, but we want to know what makes Tony's Takeaway tick. And
yes.
I think we've got a bit of facts out of there. And really appreciate you guys coming down. I know it's a little more inconvenient to come out here. I've actually got a tape recorder, but it's not quite as much fun as being in the studio together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I thought we could get that straightened out. We're running on a perfect time right now. So I thanks very much for coming out.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, Tom, for inviting us.
I'm really glad you could make it. So I've got, usually now I pulled down, I've got my outro on board there, and I just want to thank my listeners for tuning in tonight, and appreciate them, and always to remember that if you don't listen live, we're archived on smitherscommunityradio.com, up to schedule on the left, down to on the ropes, and you can listen to any show you like.
I also just want to say thanks to all the Tony's Takeaway fans and everybody from Woodside. I put it out on Facebook, and I'm also live right now. So thanks, everybody.
See you later in Wet'suwet'en.
Perfect.
Oh,
perfect. Okay. So we'll see you on the flip side. I'm going to give this a little punch here if I can find the spot. Let's try that.
You have been listening to On the Ropes, Smithers Community Radio, CICK 93.9 on your FM dial. I'm your host, Thomas Tom Roper, and we will see you on the flip side.